up your salvation. You're giving up your eternal security, your eternal body, your resurrected body. It's the crown. There's 9 crowns mentioned. But if you study them, they're all the same crown. It's everlasting life, eternal body, your resurrected body. So they're all the same. You cannot throw your crown back and forth. So when anybody has a sheet, you see a resurrection, what is it? So clearly, if you just look at, you know, one, it says, for in the resurrection they neither marry. You look at Mark, be there, for when they rise from the dead. So there's a resurrection, it's when people rise from the dead. So the one I want to look at is C, Luke. But when they, but they that shall be accounted worthy shall obtain that world. So it's that world too.
Yeah.
You're not resurrected in this world. This world has to be refined. You're going to live in a resurrected world with your resurrected body. So you can clearly see it there. It says, but they which are accounted to obtain that world and the resurrection of the dead, neither marry or are given in marriage. So it's not about marrying or given in marriage. It's not about procreating. Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are children of the God, being children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the bush when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. So clearly you can see what a resurrection is. It's a new body. It comes with a new world. Mm-hmm. The world is not regenerated 1,000 years later like a lot of people teach. It's regenerated when he comes. And you're resurrected to live in that world. And the point I'm trying to make with all this is, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you still have to be resurrected to live in that world. So the unbeliever is resurrected with us unto damnation. That's the second death. There is no other resurrection after he comes. They are resurrected unto damnation. Damnation is the second death. And we'll get more into that.
So, in Revelation, when it says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of Christ, is that that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's when he comes, he takes control of this planet.
So all of the governmental system, because that's what he's talking about.
That's right.
So all of the governmental systems of the world, America, Canada, Russia, whatever that is, no longer is it the domain of demonic forces. Lucifer now runs the world system.
He is the God of this world.
And when Jesus, at this point, at that resurrection, at that transformation, because I think resurrection and transformation are synonymous.
That's right. He says in Matthew 19, when I come in, be regeneration. So he's going to regenerate the earth too. And you just mentioned it. The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord. And what trumpet is that?
Seven.
Is the seventh trumpet the last trumpet or the first trumpet?
The last.
And when are we resurrected?
At the last trumpet.
When's the rapture?
The last trumpet.
It can't possibly be before, middle, it has to be after. There's only one last trumpet. So I want to skip past number 2 here, and I want to go to John number 3, or John 3:2. Actually, I have the wrong verse in there. Go to John 3:2, 1 John 3:2, once and read it. But I'll give you the synoptic verse to it that I've got written here. This is actually Hebrews, I think. Oh, no, it is written there. Go ahead and read that, Lawrence. This man named Jesus by right said in John 3:2. Right?
No, first John.
First John. I'm sorry.
Beloved, now we are children of God, and there's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.
Okay, so the King James says, now beloved, we are the sons of God, and have not yet appeared what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him. So when he appears, we're going to be like him. What is he like right now? He's glorified. He's resurrected, right? So clearly, when he appears, we're going to be glorified with him. But Hebrews says, in Hebrews 9:28, if you want, I think that's the verse I was looking for. In Hebrews 9:28, it says, oh, we're looking for the word appear here, right? Okay, for 9:26, for then he must have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world had he appeared to put away sin by sacrifice of himself. So he's appeared once, right? To pay the price for sin, okay? And as it appointed unto men once to die, after this, the judgment, Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second. Not 2.0, not a second and a third time. He doesn't come for the church and then with the church. See, that these are three triggers. They use phrases that are not true. They'll say, well, the second coming is in two phases. First he comes for the church, then with the church. This makes it clear. He's going to come in one more time.
Right.
And that one more time is when we are resurrected with him. So where are we going to put him? Beginning, middle, or end? To me, it's clear that he comes at the end.
Last day.
That's right. So if you look at number 4 there, Philippians 3:11, if by any means I may I attain to the resurrection of the dead. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody turn to Titus 2:13 now. Who shall change our vile body, and that it may be fashioned unto his glorious body, according to the working wherein he is able to subdue all things unto himself in the fellowship. Verse 10 says fellowship of his suffering before you get to verse 11. We're not told we're going to suffer.
Right?
These are commandments from Jesus Christ, from God. If you read 3:10, it says that we are fellowship of his suffering. And then he goes on in verse 11 to talk about our resurrection. That's what we're looking for. You know, who cares about this life? Who cares about this world? We're looking for him. You know, and that's why I say the book of Revelation, the study of it, it's one thing to just, you know, get all these charts and get them figured out. That's not the end game here. So we can look at three trimmers and drill them and say, you got this wrong. It's about Jesus Christ. Right. It's about him being revealed. It's about the one who saved us, the one that has poured his grace on us, that we are looking for him that day, and he is going to appear, and he's going to rescue us, and we're going to be forever. My mom and dad are there.
Right.
If I don't see Jesus Christ first, I don't care. If he's not the first face I see, if I don't bow down and worship him on that day, I don't even want to go. I want him. I want to behold him. I want to see him. I want to see the one who has looked down on mankind and said, I'll have mercy on those people.
Yeah.
All right. So, 1 Corinthians. So, here we are, 1 Corinthians 15. Is this helping? Are we getting an understanding of what a resurrection is?
Where are we at, Titus?
We're in 1 Corinthians 15. Go ahead, read Titus.
Yeah. We have it 2:13.
2:13.
Yeah. Okay. So, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ.
Of a great God and our Savior, that we're looking for his appearing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're looking for, his appearing. And once again, the key word there is appearing. He's going to appear one more time. That's it. Yeah, and what I want to do here is I want to show you in the scriptures how this works. I don't want you to stand up here and say, this is it. I want you to see it. But I want you to see it because he's going to use you.
Mm-hmm.
When I started studying this 20 years ago, I just asked, I want to know the truth because Chuck Bissler is saying we're out of here. Right? Jimmy DeYoung are saying we're out of here. And I'm reading, I'm going, I don't see that, Lord. And I just asked him from a true heart. And you know what he did? He showed me, but he also showed me to tell people, to warn people. Go read Ezekiel 33. We're watchmen. You're learning this now? It's not for you just to sit on your thumbs. Right. We're to warn people of the tribulation that's coming. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did for me. He started using this to other than his answer with a true heart, and he started saying, okay, now you know it, you better go tell people. And when you read the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they hated them. They did not, and I'm not talking about Hindus, Muslims, or Democrats. I'm talking about people in the congregation that said, preach to us smooth things. We don't want to hear these. Israel's going to be destroyed. Shut up Jeremiah and put him in prison. We don't want to hear these things. Speak to us in smooth talk. It's always the prophets that have been persecuted and martyred by their own people. And that's what I see. I see the churches are basically ignoring this. And we're in a time in the season, these last 14 months, where we're going, what is going on?
Right.
And they're not preparing the church spiritually for what's coming.
Isn't that what was happening even back in John the Baptist?
That's right.
Okay, before Christ actually started his ministry. Because he's something that he said, warn them of the wrath. We're learning these things to be warned. And so Matthew, speaking of John the Baptizer, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious folks, okay, come to the baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Right, and so I believe that that's what God is doing right now.
Absolutely.
That he's waking up a portion of the body of Christ. He's stirring in us to awaken us. Because there's a wrath, who has warned us of this wrath to come? It's going to be the Holy Spirit. But John, being the forerunner of Christ, he was preparing a person to stand in the gap.
That's right.
To speak to the religious folks.
That's right, to the religious folks. Yeah. Most of the world's not listening to us. Well, what I started noticing, we're having trouble with are people that are associated with us.
The
fundamentalist Bible teachers, pastors, they're rejecting us. Mm-hmm. You know, like he just said, what's John a picture of? It's a picture of Elijah.
Right.
Elijah's a forerunner before Christ. And he said, Jesus sent Elijah before the great notable day of the Lord.
Yeah.
Not 7 years before, not 3.5 years before. Elijah is going to show up. And then they're going to start preaching the gospel to Jewish people after they take away the daily sacrifice. We talked about this last week. Jewish people. You know where the three rivers put Elijah and Moses? The first 3.5 years.
Right.
That's what I started noticing, Mark. Everything that they say about this is wrong. And how dare you take the scriptures? Here's how it works. They have a narrative. They want to reach this narrative, pre-trib. And they will twist and wrest the scriptures any way they want to get to that narrative. You know, that's why I like the 144,000. Yeah. We were told that they were Jewish evangelists. Mm-hmm. Bible doesn't say that. Why do they need them to be Jewish evangelists? Because during Revelation 7, there's a multitude of Gentiles saved. But wait a minute. They say the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled at the pre-trib rapture. Well, how are you getting millions of Gentiles saved? We say, well, those 144,000 are Jewish evangelists. So they need them to witness to the Gentiles because we're gone.
But the Holy Spirit left.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit's gone.
None of this makes sense. None of this makes sense. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 15, which is huge on
what is this, the resurrection.
And this is the resurrection. Absolutely. Verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say among you there is no resurrection? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. This is what we're waiting for. This is not charts. This is what we're waiting for. You said it earlier. Go read Romans 8. All of creation, since its fall, is waiting for the second coming of Christ to restore everything. Look at 16, verse 16. For if the dead not rise not, then Christ not raised, and Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are in your sins. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. They killed Christ. He went in with the, he went in the grave with one body. He came out with another body. Verse 21. For since by man came death, right, came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order. So there's an order to the resurrection, right? Every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ. When?
At his coming.
Is that plural or is that singular?
Singular.
See, when you read at his coming, it's always singular. There's a second coming, and it's singular. It's not for the church and then with the church.
There's no secret one?
There's, and this is, I'm telling you, this is what I had to deal with where I was going. They believe, because this now makes sense, that he's going to rapture his church and resurrect people. He's going to appear. So you know what they came up with? A secret rapture. You know, make sure that you leave a DVD or track in your pants pocket. This is what they tell people. And you go, and I said, where's the verse for that? Where's the verse that we are going to secretly, some dog whistle is going to blow. You're going to come out of your skin, secretly go up into heaven. And I was telling one of the people at the church, I said, 1 Thessalonians makes it clear. He comes in the clouds, we meet him in the air.
With the trump, the voice of God.
With all the same verses. We meet him, I said, in the air. It's not a secret. These trumpets, you have to hear the six trumpets to hear the last trumpet. If you're going to hear the last trumpet, it means you heard the other six. And they say, well, no, it's a, and they wouldn't budge past it. They kept saying, well, they don't see us go. What do you mean they don't see us go? He's in the air. Of course they see us go. They just went to believe this narrative. They believe that narrative. They believed in something that's not it. These are King James people.
Doesn't that scripture say that all eyes?
Revelation 1:7. Every eye shall see him. Yeah. You ever read Revelation? I mean, Matthew 26, what describes Pharisees that are now burning in hell?
Mm-hmm.
He says, you're going to see me coming. They're going to see it. Yeah. Everyone, people don't understand that when he comes, the veil between this dimension and that dimension is going to be ripped wide open. Veil just read it. Titus says that we're going to see God the Father and the Son coming in Titus 2:13, right? We're going to see them both. Well, how are you going to see them unless the dimension's ripped open? You know, what were we talking earlier, but on a Tuesday, about Elisha was the armies were sort of the Syrian armies were surrounding them, right?
Yeah.
And Elisha's servant said, "Oh boy, we're in trouble." Elisha didn't panic. He said, "Open up my servant's eyes," and he saw a host of soldiers, armies, chariots, an angelic order around them. They're here. We can't tap into them because we're in these filthy bodies. You need a new body to be able to see that dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so verse 23. Every man in his own order. So there's an order to the resurrection. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they are Christ at his coming. Look at the next verse. Read that.
Then cometh the end.
Then cometh the end, Alan. Not that first cometh the 7-year tribulation. Then cometh the beginning of the tribulation. Then cometh the end. End of what? This world. This world ends when he shows up. Then cometh the end when he has delivered up the kingdom. Here's what Pastor talked earlier. This is Revelation 11:15-18, the seventh trumpet. Then when he has delivered up the kingdom unto God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. And he must reign, for he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. Okay, so let's go down to 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some, I keep going off the rail trail. I was told that because he could appear any second, imminent. The Bible doesn't say the next prophetic event is the rapture. How could the next prophetic event be the rapture when Israel had become a nation again?
Right.
Paul didn't teach imminence. Well,
the Bible plainly teaches there's got to be a calling away.
That's right.
There's got to be the son of perdition's got to be revealed. There's
that's right. There's things that have there's markers, like what we were saying last week. There's markers, but yet they go on to say, oh no. The Bible teaches imminence. Paul taught imminence. Peter taught imminence. Peter didn't teach imminence. No. Peter gives us First, Second Peter,
right,
where he's clearly saying that when he appears, it's going to destroy the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what did he tell Peter? How did Peter get taught imminence? He said, they're going to kill you before I come back. That's not imminence. Same thing with Paul. Paul goes on to write 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, where he says, there'll be a falling away first,
right,
and the man of sin be revealed. Paul taught imminence. He told Paul, they're going to kill you before I come.
Yeah.
It's not imminence. It's a lie. They're all lies that he could appear at any second and take us out of here.
Now, back in the scripture 15, I was just looking at the reoccurrence of all in this. How many times do you look at all and every?
Right.
Okay. That means, to me, when I hear all, that tells me that there is something to start. Everything's got to be done, and then the next thing will happen.
That's right.
If Christ be not risen, then we of all men are most miserable. Christ, the first fruit who goes down, talks about death and the resurrection of the dead. And in Adam, how many die?
All.
In Christ, shall how many live?
All.
And verse 23, but every man in his own order. Christ, remember the picture of the first fruits, and then afterward, they that are that belong to Christ at when?
His coming.
When is he coming?
At the end.
At the end.
That's right. It's clear.
Yeah, it's. You look at the alls, there's 12 different alls in one every.
That's excellent.
And that portion is
all. All means all.
Yeah.
See, that's what they do, because they decide to take the scriptures and they're going to twist them. All doesn't really mean all. Or that hour,
mm-hmm,
when he comes in that hour, well, that doesn't really mean an hour. Or the day of the Lord, well, that doesn't really mean a day. It's really
a day could be a 7 year.
So it's going to be whatever we want it to be. Yeah.
They got to jump hoops to make the doctrine right.
That's right.
They have to twist
it. They have to.
They have to.
Yep.
They have to.
That's right.
So,
well,
I have a question. So, when I was that day, I grew up Catholic, and I kept writing down all the things that they lied to me about. And you just said, they all lie, right? The people that are Christians or whatever, or believe it. What's the reason for the lie? I think I know, but it's like, what? Why is everyone lying?
There you go. There's a great discussion right there. And I think we all ponder this. I say it all the time. Why is it I'm just some nitwit? It just believes the Bible, but yet I see this. He sees it. We're just a bunch of nitwits, but yet you have the ones that are selling videos. This might be the reason.
Yeah.
They're selling videos and books and are being brought into prophecy conferences,
mm-hmm,
and getting paid money, right? They have to see what I see. John MacArthur is brilliant.
Yeah. Amen.
How do you not see this?
Well, I started way before
Facebook.
Right.
Before,
yeah.
Right? It was 1830.
It's a strategy.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just call it for what it is. It's
satanic.
Why is the church dysfunctional right now?
Yeah.
Why is it like out of the loop? Like what? You didn't get the memo?
Yeah.
You can't see what's going on around here? Because they think we're gonna be out of here.
Yeah.
We're out of here.
Yeah.
But you're not.
The key verse that goes along with that, we'll get to you in a second, my brother, I love you, is God sent them a strong delusion because they loved not the truth.
There it is. That's it.
God sent them a strong delusion. The believer, he didn't send the delusion to the lost because they don't need to be deluded. They're already deluded,
right.
Delusional. Okay? He sent the delusion to those who call themselves Christian. Why? Because they didn't study their Bible.
That's right. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ and His Word.
Your
like
word
we said last week, you would not have Him without without this.
Right.
This is the truth. And like I was going there. Yeah. I was actually going there when you just quoted that verse.
Okay.
Because they love not the truth of the word.
Right.
It's I say it again, I feel I'm gonna get you right up saying it's selfish. A preacher at Rapture is about me. It's about me not being harmed, hurt,
right.
punished, or you know, persecuted. A post-trib is glorifying him.
Here's something I think is going to mess up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
I think it's more of the narrative that you're talking about. Because they're trying to promote one saved, always saved.
Yeah.
And that it's the majority of people are going to be going to heaven. And
yeah.
Really, the Lord is working with a remnant.
That's right.
Mm. Amen.
So they're
right.
trying to sell something and
yeah.
twist it to where it bears no resemblance to the truth.
Yeah.
For so many people to believe it.
Yeah.
And as he was saying that, that's where I was going. So.
Yeah, and I know. I think there is that was excellent. It's an excellent question. The question is
working.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, who stands the game?
That's right. They do. So we're standing up here. He's allowed. He's given me this forum. And so am I going to charge you people for? Am I going to charge you for printing this out? Am I, when we leave, I want you to leave me 1995.
Only if
we
get
free. Right? If God shows you something, do you not show it for free?
Amen.
See, this is my problem with these
people.
It's right. It's filthy lucre.
Yeah, but the problem is that you've got it backwards also. He isn't giving you any platform. If the Spirit isn't giving you a platform, you don't have one.
Amen.
Okay.
We're out as a young man and as an older boy.
That's a long time.
And I went to a different church. I was on vacation with a family across the street, and we went to a different church up in near Black Lake, New York. When I got home, my mother just dreamed. You didn't go to a Catholic church. I told them to take me to a Catholic church. So I had to go because it's a sin for me to go to another church. In an older boy, I'm in the back with the priest the one before we go out in the morning, and I says, Father, I said, when I was in that church, everybody was praying to God. Everybody in that church believed there's one God.
Right.
Everybody in this church believes there's one God. So aren't we praying to the same God? What makes us sin?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, Gary, follow the money.
Yeah,
your money is going in their collection,
right?
Not ours.
That's right.
And my sister,
that
was the
sin.
He goes right there. He goes technically.
Yeah.
It's about money. It's about money. What did Jesus do? He overturned the changes at the.
You have made my house to be a house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den.
And that's thieves. What kind of free gypsy you're going to charge people? You know, Mike Hawker says that he prints videos for $2.
Yeah.
They're selling these videos. You know, I mean, Mike Hawker's a good man. He gives his stuff away for free. But you've got people that are saying, you know, get a book of Daniel for your love offering of $39.95. And they're like, well, what are you charging people if God's showing you something for free? God will bless that. God, if you have to put money into it, God's going to return it.
You've received the reward.
That's right. And that's what I think is going on. I think that's what I think is going on is a lot of these pastors that we would associate with,
mm-hmm.
fundamentalists.
Yes.
Dr. Yeah. Yeah. First of all, a lot of them are ignoring it, I think, because of the reason of this. I find it interesting that he said in the past year this church has grown.
Yeah.
In a lot of churches, they've lost 65% of their membership. And what is happening is God is gathering a true remnant of people that just want to know the truth. You know, and I kept trying to warn them and I was always being told that, you know, you're a troublemaker, you're a sword of discord, or, you know, you're this one trick. He goes, why do you want to talk about it? I said, because you won't. You won't warn them.
But
isn't
God leading out?
I do. I think that's you're seeing exactly falling away first. You know, 1 Timothy says perilous times will come, that men shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So let me ask you something. A lot of people that we love, I love this. I love people at that church. That's a doctrine of the devil. If a pre-trib rapture is not a biblical doctrine,
what is it?
Yeah. And it's being taught in 95% of the churches.
Interesting, Tommy. Not outside of this country.
Right.
Pre-trib rapture is big in this country.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
angels go through
That's
a lot.
Right.
A
That's
lot
right.
Connected.
Absolutely. Yeah. How did it infiltrate? Because even the Baptists, who they were the holders of the fundamental Christianity, they've gone haywire. Well, what happened? Darby comes on the scene, dispensationalism. Dispensationalism and pre-trib are married together. So he's teaching it, so now 1900, Niagara Conference, they're invited in. They were kept out. They were looked as heretics up until then.
Spurgeon.
That's right. Yeah, Spurgeon called them a heretic. So now they're invited in. So now you got a guy, Schofield, who's King James, and he's going to use dispensationalism in his notes. And he's preaching a true pre-trib rapture. So now the Baptists, now they're actually the holders of pre-trib rapture.
And, well, it sounds good.
Yeah.
Pre-trib sounds really good. Yeah. Right? Praise God. I won't be here for any of this stuff.
Yeah.
All I got to do is say the prayer. I can leave the home. I can live by the artisan.
Yeah.
It is fine. God loves me. He'll never be his wife. All right? So and there's where I was going. Does the scripture really tell you that the church is the bride? Or are we the body?
The body.
We're the body.
Yeah, the body. Yeah.
The bride,
is all believers.
Amen.
All believers.
Yeah.
Even in is it Zechariah, where he calls them the bride?
Mm-hmm.
Let the bridegroom go forth out of his
chamber. That's my thought was going. Every time I can recollect the bride being used, he's talking of Israel. When he talks about the church, he talks about the body. All
right?
When he talks about the bride with the church, he's talking about the kingdom coming down, prepared as a bride for her husband.
Heavenly Jerusalem, he says in Revelation, I think
21,
where he says, come, I'll show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.
Right.
The Lamb's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Heavenly Jerusalem.
Yeah.
We're that city. We're that city on the hill. We're Heavenly Jerusalem. That's who we are. They're Mystery Babylon. They're the opposite. It's not America, it's not Israel, it's not New York City. Mystery Babylon is a city of unbelievers.
It is a system.
That's right.
We get when you talk about city, often we think of what we visualize as a city. But it is a world system. Babylon is a world system.
That's right.
That's why 1 John tells you not to love the world nor the things of the world.
That's
Amen.
Right.
He loves the world, who loves the Father, is not in him. All right, because it's a system he's talking about.
And the spirit that goes with it.
And the spirit that goes with it, absolutely.
That's right. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So, kind of backtracking a little to what we were talking about, I'm not sure if I'm going to be asking this correctly, but so, from what I see, there's a very limited group of people who are reading and post-trib or whatever, that most are pre-trib, okay? So, all these preachers on television, all these preachers on the radio for decades and now. Are there any that are really preaching the truth?
They're out there.
They are out there.
Yeah.
So my question is, if they are out there, how are they even being allowed to be out there? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like how come they're not shut down? If they're out there, then there must, to be able to sustain being on TV or sustain being on the radio,
I don't think you're going to see a lot of these guys on TV or the radio.
Yeah.
I think where you're going to find them are in churches, on sermon audio, and you can pick up their audio.
So automatically you see people who are on television and radio, and they've got this wide audience. Wouldn't it seem to figure that what they're teaching is probably false doctrine?
Yes.
Then that's the reason they're even allowed to be on television. Because if they were really teaching this, they probably wouldn't have those followers there following them. Nobody would be watching them.
That's what he said.
Jesus said it this way, the world will love his own.
That's right.
So I'm just thinking automatically most of the people that are out there, if not all, and I hate them all, that are on television, on the radio, probably shouldn't be listening to anything that they're saying it's popular.
And if you're on TV and the radio, you're getting paid.
Right. Yeah, so that's what the whole thing is.
That's right.
It's the money. You're
it's about money.
It's about money
Absolutely.
To be on television and on the radio.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I think that's the problem we're seeing.
And
I'm going to say this,
Josh. It brings you back to you, I mean, being the person who's teaching it, that it's a very self-like, I'm popular now on TV.
Yes, if I've ever done anything here that said, look at me, you run me out of here. This is about this and him. The truth. And that's what I'll say, too, is I think we got to be careful, too, because I think a lot of people are ignorant, even though they're safe.
Right.
Right?
Well, because you were taught that ground beef is T-bone steak.
Yeah.
And you were brought up all your life that this pound of ground is a T-bone steak.
Yeah.
Right? So when you grow up and you finally find out what T-bone steak really is, you say, wow, that ground beef wasn't T-bone steak?
That's right.
I mean, but you were taught that your whole life. You can teach your child that red is blue all through their life, and as they grow up, they'll say, blue. I recognize that. A coffee cup is blue.
Yeah.
You're not taught wrong from the beginning.
See, my problem, Masha, is not so much the laity, although they are responsible for digging in themselves. We are called to partake in. He's sovereign. He's holy. I get that. But we're not Calvinists. We play a role in this. When he says, be not deceived in Matthew 24, he's telling you not to be deceived.
Right?
So I think the problem that we run into here is them. Why? It's me and Kevin talk about all the time. Where I was, you could talk about anything. You could talk about gap theories. You could talk about Calvinism, Arminianism. You could talk about this. You bring up this subject, get out.
Yeah.
We believe in the pre-trib rapture. You get out.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, why? All we've done here, since I've been here, I've just given you the scriptures, right? Am I giving you my opinions? And Mark, you've been coming on Fridays. Do you not clearly see this? But yeah, we were all taught another way.
Right.
But the scriptures are the light of the truth that expose the darkness.
So those preachers out there who are teaching, not to say that there isn't part of what they're saying is true, but if they're not teaching everything,
the whole council.
Right. And so I guess that I've always had a problem, I guess, with
that's my problem.
With teachers and preachers on the radio and books and all of that. I
mean, you don't need the book.
I've had so that's kind of where my issue's always been. But another part of it too is I don't know the I may not know you that well, but I'm sure if there was something that God will bring it out in his body or people that he know or you know what
I mean? Yeah, he exposes.
He
exposes. He separates sheep from goat. And don't forget, when Jesus said many will come to me in that day,
saying Lord,
he's not talking about Buddhists.
Right.
He's not talking about Muslims. He's talking about people that were identifying with him. And that's what I'm starting to see is people that don't take this or they twist the scriptures how they want them. God's going to hold that person. He warns us from Deuteronomy to Revelation, don't you dare add to it and don't you dare take away from it. Mm-hmm. And what they start to do is they add and they take away from it. And God says, I'm going to deal with that.
Well, they preach a convenient gospel.
Yep.
Pre-trib rapture and once saved, always saved is very convenient.
That's right. Hold it how you want.
Yeah, if you want to build a big church, that's what you preach.
That's right.
So it's almost like when you see, and I hate to say all again, but when you see these mega churches or these evangelists on television or whatever, or these authors, and they're so popular, that should be like a red flag. Why are they so popular?
Yeah.
They're so popular because there's a lot of people that are buying into it with
that's
engineers.
Right.
Because
they're stealing God's glory.
That's right.
You're hearing what you want to hear and what sounds good.
Go ahead, say that again.
They're stealing God's glory
for themselves.
Bringing the attention to them.
That's right.
Not directing it to God like we are trying to do.
That's right. This has to glorify God. Go ahead.
So it does take money
to get the gospel out there, to preach to people and so forth,
right?
But then the people get behind them and push them forward and out there bigger and bigger.
Right. They need more money
because it costs more to run and everything. And how about that's what they were always taught?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You know, a lot of what you're seeing is what's been taught.
It's a generational teaching.
Absolutely.
The 1800s.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, it doesn't
they're not just like, oh, I'm going to get more money.
No.
Yeah.
No, there are some, but I don't think a lot of them are that way.
You know, and they go off in the wrong direction so sadly.
And they do wrong things and stuff,
and then we see all of that. But yet, the truth needs to be
throughout
the whole effort.
A lot of these TV pastors, evangelists, are millionaires.
That's kind of another issue that I have. It's an issue that I have. Me too. It bothers me.
I guess it bothers me
because they're the ones leading the flock more than it bothers me if it's the people in the congregation.
Well, and that's just it. If they're truly saved and they're shepherding God's, they're not their flock. They're God's flock.
Right.
And if they're shepherding God's flock with a false doctrine, if they're really saved, I wouldn't want to be them.
Right.
They're going to be accounted.
That's right. But it has caused me to rely on Him and Him alone. I put no, look, for me, I'm running. I'm saving myself. I'm leaving you all here. I'm out of here. But that's not what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit says, I'm going to get you through.
And doesn't it say if there are too few, few are those that find?
That's right. Why is the gate narrow?
Broad is the gate that leads to destruction, narrow is the gate.
That's right. Narrow.
I went to a Baptist church and I was trustee. And we would have meetings and say, how do we get the church to grow more? What activities can we do? What needs to happen?
That's right.
So we ended up, we called in the
National Guard.
There's a company that comes out and tells you how to build a church.
And he said, he listened to all everybody there. And he said, just teach the word.
Get rid of the gimmicks and teach the word,
and this church will grow. And you know, they walked right out of there and tried to come up with other
things.
I mean, they seeked out the wisdom and went their way.
Because you know what happens, Jim, when you teach the word? You're going to get a true remnant. You're going to get real ones. You're not just going to get people that are being coddled to while they're going burning in hell. Right? Because they're coddling them on their way to hell.
That's a picture of the rich man who met Christ and said, how do I get that? How do he says, keep all the commandments. He goes, I've done that since my youth. He goes, give everything away. The man walked off sad. The church walked off sad.
That's absolutely.
I think I came here with my grandson to try and encourage him. And there were so few, you know. But the word was being taught, that's it. And I wanted him to hear the word and feel a part of it. He's rejected it, but he's got his choices. But
and it's not over for him.
We've seen what's happened. There was only a few of us here.
And you will not, I'll tell you right now, you will never see this a mega church.
Right.
God brought this pandemic, and this church has grown.
That's right.
And the word is being taught.
We can't get away from that. We're all coming from different areas.
Usually the wounded coming.
We're the ones nobody wants.
Yeah.
We're the ones who stand on this and they go, you're really legalistic.
Yeah.
No, you're being legalistic.
Oh, I didn't hold that.
He's legalistic. I'm just following him. Alright, let's
Bill has to have his hand up.
Go ahead, Bill. Now we're going to jump back to the resurrection.
So when you share the truth, there's lots of shards from it.
Yeah.
And so the lies that are being promoted are stuffed with the shards of truth. Mm-hmm. And that's how
isn't that how Satan tempted Jesus?
Yeah.
Yes.
He took him to the desert, or Jesus went to the desert driven by the Holy Spirit, and then Lucifer appeared to him and told him half-truths.
Yeah.
Everything Lucifer said was scriptural.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But you got to walk circumspectly.
But if you describe it, they can use it to...
Yes. You can make it think what you want it to
say. Oh, yeah.
Well, and look what Jesus, when he came,
mm-hmm.
he would lay in to the scribes, Pharisees, teachers. They were the religious leaders who we would call our pastors today, right? He laid into them. He said, you make proselyte, make him twofold the child of the devil, right? He said, he's not entering into the kingdom, and neither are you because of you. And we have pastors doing the same thing. Don't you dare teach about end times.
Right.
You know, I just teach love God, and don't believe me, I'm all for it. I'm all for loving God. But sometimes Noah didn't just say, well, love God.
Yeah.
You know, he was warning people of what's coming.
Yeah.
There's a time to warn people, and I think we're all seeing it.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to move on. What is the resurrection? So verse 37 in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at 35. Look at 34.
Amen.
And I love that.
Well, actually, go back to 33.
Yeah, there it is. Be not deceived.
Yeah.
This is your role in this.
Right.
Don't be deceived. How are we not deceived? You're going to tell me there's a preacher of wretched? Give me a verse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame.
Uh-huh.
Knowledge is a Holy Spirit word.
Yes.
And he's saying, he's talking to Corinthians, these are Christians, and he's warning them.
And he's telling them, shame on you.
That's
because
right.
You ain't teaching the truth.
That's right.
I think, Asha, what you were speaking to, I think we can just correctly just speak to that for a second. They said, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. That's what you're seeing in the mega church.
Yeah.
It's people that trust under the word of man and not under the word of God.
That's right.
That's exactly what you're seeing. Many people receive God through their flesh.
That's
flesh
right.
Cannot support the spirit. The
Amen.
Spirit supports the flesh.
That's right.
And it's a decision that's made in you to receive it from the spirit, not from the flesh. The music always starts those mega churches.
That's right.
It's always about the feel good.
The flesh.
You spoke earlier, Debbie, about the comfort. I didn't say anything about how we can make it comfortable. I'm thinking in the back of my mind, don't make us comfortable. Don't make us comfortable.
Yeah.
It's perfect. And somebody else said something about comfort here just a minute ago, and it reiterated it in my mind. It's not about being comfortable.
Amen.
All the scripture says we won't be comfortable in this short span of this moment of this vapor of time that we're here. We won't be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Nor should we expect to be. Now that we serve the Lord.
That's right.
Okay. Could we change it more comfortable to more convenient?
Yeah.
How are you going to justify it?
Get an answer for it. You know, and that's it. Jesus, the Bible clearly teaches not to be comfortable with yourself. To always be on guard.
Yes.
Okay, so let's move on. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die.
Right.
And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain, that it may chance of wheat, and some other grain. So this is a very interesting verse. He's saying that this is the grain, this is the seed. This is not, when the seed is planted, does it stay a seed? No. Then comes the blade,
mm-hmm.
right? Then comes the full corn.
Right.
That's the resurrected body. Now, you think of the parable of the wheat and the tares. He says, the harvest is the end of the world. The tares are sowed in with the wheat. Let them both grow together, and at the end of the harvest. So what does he say? He says, chance of wheat, that would be us.
Mm-hmm.
And some other grain, that's the tares. There's two people being talked about here. There's one resurrection, two people. Wheat and the tares. There's the other grain.
Believers.
That's right. Some other grain is not wheat. They're tares. Go read the parable of the wheat and the tares. It explains this verse right here perfectly. As a matter of fact, right there on verse 37, go put wheat and tares in Matthew 13. So verse 38, but God giveth to the body as it had pleased, to him that every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh, kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another flesh of fish, and another flesh of birds. There's also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Personally, I'm getting sick of the terrestrial one.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
There's the glory of the sun and the glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, all for one star differs from another. So verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam made a living soul, and the last Adam, Christ, mm-hmm. made a quickening spirit. Howbeit was not the first that was spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man of the earth was earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have now borne the image of the earthly, what? We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's a promise. You're getting a new body. And it's going to be like Christ.
Mm-hmm. Read that next verse, 50.
Yeah.
Say this.
Yep. Now, say this, my brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So think of that. Yeah. You read it way earlier, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Christ. When he comes, it's a new kingdom, it's a new heaven and a new earth. You need a resurrected body to live in it. Don't the unbelievers need a resurrected body too?
Mm-hmm.
They need a resurrected body too. There are clearly people that are unsaved living on the planet during their time with us.
Yes, during that millennial reign.
That's right. Clearly.
Being born.
We're told that we are going to be kings and priests over them. We are going to be an authority over them. I see it. We're going to be an authority over them. But there's also clearly people that are going to be cast into hell.
Right.
I don't know where the line is, who stays on the earth and who goes down to hell. But the point I'm trying to make is whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you still need to be resurrected.
Yeah.
Revelation 15:8 says, no man is allowed in the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels is finished. And see, no man can be in the presence of God the Father without a glorified body.
That's
why
right.
Nobody has seen the Father, but like you had read Titus 2:13, where they both show up together.
That's right.
Revelation 6:16, they both show up together. Revelation 11, God the
Same
Father and Christ show up together.
That's right.
So until that happens, the resurrection, and then they showing up. Nobody can survive God the Father showing up.
That's right.
Until the resurrected body.
You know how God is going to regenerate the planet? By fire.
Yeah, well, that's what it says in 2 Peter. We're going to burn with the heat.
That's right. That's right. By fire. How are you going to survive that?
Yeah.
You need a resurrected body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fire of some nuclear war or cooking burgers on your grill. It's a holy fire that's coming down and it is refining the earth. It's refining us. For us,
right.
It's good. For them, it's bad.
Isn't it Psalms that talks about the refiner's fire?
Right.
I mean, not the words in Psalm, but the Psalm.
What does Dr. Bam to say? I've come, the Holy Spirit, another will come, and he will give you the Holy Spirit and with fire. Right. Jesus said, I've said, come to send fire on the earth. What if it is already kindled? He's talking about that purifying fire that is going to resurrect your body and cleanse it and purify it. But for them, it's bad.
Right.
So are you saying, let me be clear, so believers and unbelievers will stand before God in a resurrected
body? Yeah. We'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Are we going to get to it?
We'll
get to it. Let's try to get to that. So, flesh and blood, 15, flesh and blood cannot.
Right.
Cannot. So, I don't care if you're Enoch, Elijah, or Moses,
right.
They did not go up to heaven in a body.
Jesus didn't go to heaven in a
it
was a resurrected body. That didn't have blood.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, when Jesus, at the Mount of Transfiguration, it's Jesus that's glorified.
Right.
The other two, they're not resurrected.
They were just illuminated.
And why did they appear with him? He was explaining to him about his death. You know what I'm saying? They weren't in heaven.
No.
A lot of people think Elijah and Moses appeared with him from heaven. They were in paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is saying, oh, they're going to kill me. I'm going to come get you.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. Okay.
Because 51 to the end explains what we're beating around the bush about.
Yeah. So, behold, I show. God does not keep secrets from us.
Right.
Whenever there's a mystery, he's going to explain it. It's our job to search it out.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Death, body, death. Right? But we shall all be changed.
Mm-hmm.
Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the first trump? At the dog whistle?
No.
The last trump.
The last trump. Before any of the trumpets.
That's right. Find the last trump in your Bible, and it's found where Pastor brought it up earlier. Revelation 11:15-18 is the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. There it is again. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So then, this corruptible have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, O death, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he caught it. He said, where it is written?
Yeah.
You know where it's written? In Isaiah 25. You know what Isaiah 24 is? It comes before Isaiah 25. He's talking about the end of the world.
Right.
He's not talking about 7 years before. Okay, so I think clearly we could see a pattern here. A resurrection is not what happened to Lazarus.
Right.
A resurrection has happened to Christ, and this is promised to us, a new body. Right? When? So far.
Well, even that Lazarus resurrection, Martha, he said, in the last day. I know that he'll be resurrected on the last day.
Doesn't that make a point there?
Everything.
So far, what we've seen, according to, not Tom Elias, according to Scripture, does everything point here?
Yes.
This is a lie, and this is a lie. Whether they're doing it, I don't know why, how, when, but I wouldn't want to be them if they were godly people.
Right.
Okay, so, now look at verse 2. Not verse 2. Look on your sheet. Number 2 there. Now this is key. Right? This is key right here. After that, so it's 7-9 on your sheet. Revelation 7-9, number 2 there. After this, behold, a great multitude. A great multitude which no man can number. Of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. Are we good?
Yeah, she's just looking for the
pictures. Yeah, those are for next week.
Oh.
Yeah. So you have a group of people here, a multitude of all nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues.
That's separate. That's in heaven. Yes. That's everybody. It's everybody in Jews too, right? For the nations. And they stood. Is anybody in Revelation?
Yeah.
Go to Revelation 6. Is it? I think 6 should be the fifth seal.
Verse 9.
Yeah, 9. 6:9. Read that, Alan.
And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?
Keep on.
And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, for a little season, until their fellow servants, also their brothers, that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled.
Okay, so you see the key there, our white robes were given.
Right.
They're not clothed.
Right. So they're given. Kind of like Simon says.
That's right.
Simon says, put your hand, what if you put your hand on your head too quick? And Simon says, you're out, right?
That's right.
You're given the robe, you're not told to put on it. But it's not, you're not clothed in it yet. You have it, but you can't.
That's right.
It.
It's here.
Yeah.
And they're saying how they're not clothed yet. The right robes are given to them.
Right.
And they're saying, how much longer?
Right.
But what does he say? Hang on, there's more people that are going to be slaughtered, persecuted.
Right.
Martyred.
Right. Martyred.
Yeah.
So remember that. And then when we get to Revelation 7:9, after this, behold, the great multitude which no man can number of all nations, kindred, people, tongues, stood, the resurrected, before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and red. So what happened between that, Alan's reading, and here? The sixth seal.
Yeah.
Right? This is where we're caught up, right here, Revelation 7:9. You are now resurrected, you're standing before the throne.
I don't want to interrupt, but who's the everyone?
That's every saint ever in history.
When I was reading through this, between the everyone and between the verse that you just read, it lists all of the tribes. So I was confused about that.
So you have the tribes, you have the 12 tribes of Israel in the same chapter with people from every nation.
Yeah.
So everybody, see, this is dispensationalism. This is what pre-trib rapture, this is what dispensationalism teaches. Jew, Gentile, and the two never meet.
Right.
I actually heard a guy say, God is the bridegroom of the Jews, and Jesus is the bridegroom of the Gentiles.
I've heard that,
yeah.
Are you kidding? One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Here's where they make the mistake. Believing Jews and believing Gentiles meet at the same place. The unbelieving Jew and unbelieving Gentile get judged at the same place. And it's all right here. It's all right there. There's one judgment day. This is what dispensationalism does. So you can never apply the promises of the church to the Jews.
Right.
And they separate them. But there are, God called the Jews the congregation in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness.
The church.
There's always been a church.
Well,
there's always been a kind of
the church. Is, it's ecclesia.
That's right.
It's a people group that are called out of something to something else.
That's right.
The Hebrews were called out of paganism, right?
That's
through
right.
Abraham and his belief were called out from that to be a people group that are supposed to be consecrated and sanctified for the working of Christ,
yeah.
for the working of the Father. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to teach the Gentiles about the God that they serve.
Right.
Instead, they segregated themselves off. Well, we're better than you.
That's right.
Right. Well, then God said, all right, you'll reject the Christ that comes for you, and then I will graft in the Gentile people, the Gentile church, to do the same job that the Hebrew church was supposed to do.
And that's it. That's what dispensationalism does and pre-trib rapture does. It separates the believing Jew from the believing Gentile.
That's their big error and mistake.
Yeah.
So, and so you think of it. This is what they say. In the Old Testament, the law was given, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the Jews. Was there Gentiles in there? Absolutely. So there was that law between us and them. So now they say, well, we're in this church age right now where Gentiles are being saved. And this church age is for the Gentiles. Are the Jews being saved today?
Absolutely.
There goes that law. There's no difference between us and them. This is not replacement theology. He's not done with them. He's going to save a remnant of them here.
Doesn't Paul say that there is no difference
between
Jew, Gentile, rich, or poor?
This is why we don't go through the tribulation. So it's okay for Jesus, God, to beat the heck out of Jewish people. Yeah, that's fine. Well, we're up there partying.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Pastor, pass me another hamburger. See what they just did to that guy down there? That's fine. You know, that's fine. That's the God we love. He's allowing them to be slaughtered while we're partying upstairs. No. Everybody meets at the same place at the same time. Let's get through this. So you clear 7-9? Okay, so now look at number 2, when. We just saw when, right on your sheet, says when, number 1 there. The last trump. Okay, so look at the next comparable verses in Revelation 7. After the great tribulation. Revelation 7:13-14. And one of these elders saying unto me, what are these that are arrayed in white robes? They're clothed now. They're resurrected. And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out before the tribulation.
No. There's no law there.
Right? What is it?
Because that makes it sound like it's one period in time.
It's right.
It's out of tribulation, not out of
thought. But it doesn't say before either. Let's read it again. These are they which came out of great tribulation. So if everybody is resurrected here, and this is the end of the tribulation, there's no pre-trib, there's no mid-trib, there's nothing. It's here. And we're being... go ahead.
As you read through that, and it comes down to 17, God shall wipe all the tears away from their eyes. Where do you see that again in the Revelation? Is in 20.
20, yeah.
Right? Where God wiped away
that's
all.
Right.
Everything
that's right.
Right here
that's
is
good.
Repeated in Revelation chapter 20.
See, this is how dispensationalists try to understand the book of Revelation. They say the 6 seals, and then the trumpets, and then the body. That's not how it works.
Right.
They overlap each other. Right. It is chronological, but they do overlap each other. I promise we will get into it.
Don't they call that synopticism?
Yeah.
You know, where the same picture just looked at with a different angle.
Yeah. Synoptic verses.
Yeah.
Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're synoptic. Yeah. Same story. Not story, but different.
Yeah.
Same account. That's a good word. Different angles.
Same process.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move on. How much time we got left?
15.
15 minutes.
Okay. So number 3. Job knew it. Job knew of this event. He didn't think of any. Job's a Gentile. Okay, number 3 there. When the wrath is past, Job said, when man dieth, right, and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and then the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. So he's saying this event is when the new heaven and new earth take place too. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me in secret until what? The wrath is past. The wrath. Not the tribulation.
Right.
The wrath. Until the wrath is past, that thou wouldest point me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. That's what we just read.
I never noticed that change.
See how God, this is how God works. He uses words to teach you. And that word we just saw in 1 Corinthians, till my change comes. Change.
Mm-hmm.
So flip over to the next slide. When? The latter day. Job once again talks about this. 19:25-27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. He was well aware of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He knew he had a Redeemer. This is before that, right?
Yes, this is before Abraham.
Right? Yeah, and a lot of people think Job lived before Abraham. The
oldest book.
That's right.
The oldest book. Oldest, yeah.
And he shall stand in at the latter day upon the earth, and after and go after my skin, worms destroyed this body. Mm-hmm. Yet in my flesh, it's a resurrection.
Shall I see God?
Shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, till my reins be consumed within me. Okay, so clearly, if you look at John, he puts this event on the last day.
Right.
You can see the spots that are highlighted. You know, I was just trying to rip through this pretty quick. And it's your job to challenge me to study these. I'm just giving you the verses. It's your job to go read them. So you can see, number 5 there, that he's going to raise him up at the last day. Mm-hmm. Verse 40, I will raise him up at the last day. 44, I will raise him up at the last day. 54, I will raise him up at the last day. What's the resurrection? But yet, I've gotten into discussions with pastors that say, oh, there's many resurrections.
No, there's only one. Something that interesting that Job said, I want to look at real quick. Though my reins be consumed within me. What does a rein, not rein, but what do reins do on a horse?
Yeah, hold you back.
Slow you down. Hold you back.
Guide
you. Keep you, guide you.
Correct.
All right?
Job mine, said, not mine, you know.
there's something holding him back until those reins are released.
Yeah.
All right. I'm being held back until there's a day coming when I'm going to be set free. He's going to Abraham's bosom before Abraham had a bosom. Right? He's going there to that spot because he trusted God. He's going to be held there. He's going to be contained there until the day that that rein is released. We are sealed with the Spirit until the day of resurrection.
That's right. See, that's a pastor. That's his gift, the pastor. I've been taught to teach.
Yeah.
See what a blessing that was right there? That's a pastor's heart. He wants you to grow. And now I'm teaching you. He wants you to grow.
And God gives you those brains in the nice season.
Amen. Right. Yes.
I mean, and I think God does that to test you.
I believe that.
He said, okay, David, I don't want you to count the people. Mm-hmm. David did.
Yeah.
He gave him the reins.
Right.
Try him. Try him. Try him. Try him.
Yep.
Okay, so the next verse there, John 11. Mm-hmm. We all know what this chapter is talking. This is about Lazarus.
Right.
Right? This is about Lazarus, a guy that was dead for 4 days. And he came, is that a resurrection? Well, let's see what John says. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And what does Jesus do? He goes over to the grave and says, come out of there. That's not a resurrection. He's coming out with the same body he went in with.
And even that, when the Jews came later, they wanted to kill Lazarus.
That's right.
You can't kill a resurrected person.
That's right. That's right. See, when I started getting in conversations, started debating pastors about this, they would say, well, there's many resurrections in the Bible. Matthew 27, those that came out of the grave after Jesus' resurrection. Isn't that a resurrection? No. Those are people that were alive during the time of Christ,
yeah.
Right? That when he came out of the grave, they go back to their families and they go, you know the one I was telling you is the Messiah? I'm here.
Yeah.
Those people have to die again.
Right.
And they recognize them.
They recognize them.
It wasn't a short time frame. It was like 500 years later, somebody came out of the grave.
I asked Pastor Y there, well, who are, if they're Old Testament saints, are they not David? In Acts it says David's body is with us to this day. He's not raised.
So you're saying they went back and said, right?
Yes, they died.
Yeah, they had to die. They clearly had to die.
They got to walk around.
Right.
They went back.
Did Lazarus die then?
Yeah, probably.
He had to.
Yeah.
He had to. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom.
Right.
And it's clearly not a resurrected because they weren't glowing white with white robes.
Yeah, Jesus sought to kill Lazarus.
After the after the call
That's right.
You know, the quickening, I guess, would be a better word, because he quickens the dead.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's thinking. And he's thinking.
That's right.
He's spoken, riding dark, back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lord.
He's got control of this.
Yeah.
So let's get through these last three, and then next week we can pick on one resurrection, two parts. I think that would be perfect.
Okay. When we get done with this, let's finish with the last two verses of 1 Corinthians 16.
Okay.
He gives credit.
Okay, you're going to read it when we get through this, so let's go ahead and stay there. So number seven there.
Okay.
Number six there. 1 Peter 1, 3-5. Blessed be the God of our Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundance mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Well, 2 Titus 2:13. Our blessed hope. Our hope is a resurrection coming with Christ. A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. We just quoted 1 Corinthians 15.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Uncorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Where's it reserved?
In heaven.
Are you sure?
Right?
Yeah.
See, the Greek river's got a whole bunch of people being resurrected here, coming out of graves. He's not going to resurrect. I've heard this.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to get your molecules back here. He doesn't say that. It's coming from there.
Yeah.
Where am I? Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed when?
Last.
At the last time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll move on quickly here. So here, we read John 3:2. Does not appear what we shall be. Here's Hebrews. We read that. He's going to appear the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. The dead in Christ rise first. Where are the dead in Christ right now? They're in heaven.
Yeah, underneath you.
That's right, and he gathers them. And he gathers them then.
Oh, okay.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. So Matthew 24:3 says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, tell us, what shall these things be? What is the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?
Burial, yes.
And what does he do? Well, you go read Matthew 24, he appears in the clouds and he gathers his elect from heaven. Right? That's where the dead in Christ are. And then Mark 13 says, from earth to heaven.
Right.
It's the same thing.
All right.
Are we good?
Mm-hmm. We're good.
You look confused. I don't want you
to. Revelation 20, no.
We're doing Revelation 20 next week.
Yeah, so we can hold now.
There's no way. We don't have time.
We
can't.
There's no way we can.
Did Jesus say that in 1
Corinthians 11? Are in heaven. If you die, where do you go?
What did Jesus say?
Right. That body is gone. That body is never going to get raised.
Yep.
That soul that's in heaven, that's going to be clothed. Read Hebrews 12:1.
Job said, my body is being eaten by the worm.
That's right.
Okay, so the corpse that you're wrapped in, the skin, is going to return to the dust where
that's
it came
right.
from. All right, that's
done.
This right here
done.
Is done, right? At death,
okay.
The skin doesn't come back.
So the soul is being woven.
Yes.
So Lauren brought up something.
Body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah, Lauren brought up something. That white robe is your resurrected body.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what that is.
Yes.
And that didn't clarify that.
It's that new robe that you're getting.
That's right. That's your resurrected body,
yes.
That white robe. Which nobody has.
Which nobody has.
Let's pray.
Yeah.
Father God, we are so thankful to you that your scriptures enlighten us. It is your word that is the light of the world and that Jesus is the light of the world. And we cannot have one without the other. I thank you, Father God, for Pastor Fitz that has allowed this. that has been led by the Holy Spirit to allow this teaching of end times and how these things play out. I pray that you would just have mercy on us, put a hedge of protection around us, illuminate us, Lord, by your word, and draw us nearer to you. And we are just so thankful that we will one day see Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Well, a couple verses, Bill?
Yeah, right.
The thanks be to God which giveth the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it comes
from. That's right.
Bless for therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as we know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As we go forth and witness to others, it's not in vain.
That's right.